In Parshas Va'era, it's quite a jam-packed parsha. We spoke about it in the Chumash here. It's online if you want to take a listen for last week's parsha. But I think there's two very essential messages in Chinuch that the Torah is relaying to us in this week's parsha. In last week's parsha. The first message that Rav Moshe Feinstein points out is if you look in Parshas Va'era, when the Torah opens us up to the family, to the background of Moshe and Aaron, the Torah just tells us there was a man from Shevet Levi who marries a woman from Shevet Levi. Very vague description of Amram and Yocheved, two great, great people. The Gemara says in Saita, Amram was the Gadol Hador. Yocheved, we know all about her, Mesiras Nefesh, what she did for the babies. But when the Torah describes their marriage, it doesn't say there's this boy named Amram to this girl named Yocheved. No, a man from Levi marries a girl from Levi. No, not much fanfare. Then we come to this Parshas Ve'era. And the Torah goes back and reminds us about who Levi was. And Levi had a grandchild named Amram, and Amram married this girl Yocheved, and from that comes Moshe and Aaron. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein, why now did we finally learn the mystery of who Moshe and Aaron's parents were? Why keep it a secret to this week's parasha? Why not tell it to us in Parasha Shemais? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful idea in Chinuch. He says, because clearly Moshe was a gifted child. Clearly. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu was special. And when a special child is born to a parent, gifted child, so the parents have a massive responsibility. What are they going to do with this child? Are they going to just let this child grow up to be a special gifted child and make a lot of money and become very popular and famous? Or are you going to allow this child to benefit Klal Yisrael? Am I going to allow my child, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly gave him brachis, gave him the ability to do what most children can't do, I'm going to allow him and give him to benefit Klal Yisrael? So in Parasha Shemois, we didn't yet know how Moshe's giftedness is going to play out. Or even Aaron or Miriam's. Well, what are they going to do with their talents? But when we get to Parshas Ve'era, then we start to see that Moshe and Aaron did something with it. They became leaders. Oh, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, now we can give credit to the parents. Now we say, oh, you know who his mom and dad were? Amram and Yocheved, because they took these children that they were given as a present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a gift. And they took their children and they allowed them to become great leaders and great members of society. Then the parents get the credit. But before then, says Rav Moshe, in Parashas Shemois, it's just potential. We don't know where it's going to go yet. The parents don't get any credit. The parents go nameless. So only in Parashas Ve'era, when we see what the children did and what they added and what they became, then the parents get the credit.
That's why we don't celebrate birthdays, but your time.
That's right. Exactly. Same idea. We can only celebrate what was done, not what is in the future. When a person has finished something and he has what to show, then we can commemorate and then we could celebrate. Very, very powerful idea from Rav Moshe Feinstein. A similar idea in the world of Chinuch is also in last week's parasha. Beautiful, beautiful idea. It's found in the Sforno, but you have to really dig to understand the Sforno. And Rav Henoch Leibowitz in the Sefer Chedushi Alev brings it out beautifully. The Sforno basically asks, why was Amram so lucky to have Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? That's a knockout team. Right, that's mamish, you know, that's the all-star team. To have a Moshe as a son, to have an Aaron as a son, and a Miriam for a daughter. That's 3 for 3. Amram hit it out of the park. He had wonderful children. 2 wonderful boys, a wonderful daughter. What was his merit? What did he do? And this is the ticket, I guess we all ask ourselves, what can we do to produce children like that? So that's the Sforno, because Amram used to learn with Levi. Levi was his grandfather, and Amram used to study Torah with his grandfather. So that's what basically the words of the Sforno. So Henoch Leibowitz elaborates on this in the Sefer. He says, look what the Torah is telling us about the importance of learning from the previous generation. We think, oh, the old generation, it's old news, they have nothing new to add, they don't know their way around an iPhone, what am I going to gain from learning with my grandfather? Says the Sforno, no, you're going to gain a deeper understanding of life, deeper hashkafic values, and it's going to change not who you are, but the children that you're going to produce later on. When the person taps into the previous generation, he has the ability not to change his life only, but he can change the next generation, help him produce children like Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Ms. Alvation discusses this a lot in his farm, this idea that the generation gap, that people feel that the grandparents are out of the picture, you know, they're too old, they don't know what's going on, and we forget about them. It's a mistake we make. We have to figure out ways to reconnect to that generation. So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, how do you reconnect to a generation gap? So he said, through Torah, because Torah doesn't change. The Torah doesn't change because you're older and they're younger. If you want to find something that unifies the two generations, it's Torah. A grandfather learns with his grandson, it's the same Chumash, it's the same Mishnah, it's the same Gemara, it's the same Torah. But I think this idea is so powerful, that this idea of when the generations come together over learning. When they come together over learning and you see and you learn and you give over to that generation, you're not only affecting him, but you're affecting the fourth generation. I mean, you can have an impact on 4 generations. It's so powerful to think about how one person can affect his children, his grandchildren, and then the next generation. generation, for Dori Dori, so you have the ability to change your future, your legacy, by just putting in the time. Today it's a lot easier. Today we have cell phones and we have, you know, FaceTime and Skype, a lot of other ways. Even if the grandkids don't live around the corner, there are still ways to connect and to show them and to give over to them. This chashiva is a lot of the yeshivas have, you know, grandfather-grandson programs and grandfather-grandson learning. It's mamash this idea. Because when you create that connection through Torah, you're producing, you're giving the ability to be able to have Dairi Dairis of Torah, like we find by Amram, Moshe, and Aaron. But what I think one of the important lessons of the parasha is we find a very interesting duo between Moshe and Aaron. There's a partnership between these two brothers, a beautiful partnership. Halavai, every two brothers and every partner in a company should be as beautiful as Moshe and Aaron were. Such a beautiful, beautiful relationship that Moshe and Aaron had. They had respect for each other, they loved each other, they valued each other, they were not jealous of each other, which is so, so important. There was a real deep relationship. But the obvious question is, why the need for a duo? Why did you have to have a duo? So Rashi tells us in the beginning of the parasha, Parashas Veira, that the Torah sometimes writes Moshe's name first and then Aaron, sometimes Aaron's name then Moshe. Why, says Rashi? To teach me they were equal. Now, the obvious question is they can't be equal. It's impossible. Why? Because we know that one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, anyone who says the Ani Mamins every morning knows that one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim are that we believe that Moshe was the greatest Navi to ever live. Moshe was the greatest Navi. So by definition, he's not the same as Aaron. It says in the Masechta Smachos that at Aaron's Levaya there were rows and rows of little boys lined up. Now today, they have the Aaron's on their yarmulkes. Today all the kids have their names on their yarmulke. It's a big, you should just know, it's not a simple thing. My son gets them, my wife's busy with them the whole day. The right name and the color and design. Somebody just buy me a yarmulke in the farm store, let's move on. But okay, it's a big zach. But back then, it's dangerous. Someone else pointed out to me, it's very dangerous. It's sad that we live in a world like that. Because people say the kid's name, they think that they know the kid already. Right, it is an issue. It is an issue. So back then, there were rows and rows of boys named Aaron. They were all Malava Aaron's mita when he died. So it says in Masechus Machos, where are all these babies from? So it says that we know Aaron was the first to do Shalom Bayis. So that whenever the couple had difficulty, they went to Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron HaKohen made peace. All these babies were born from marriages and relationships that Aaron HaKohen got involved in and put the relationship back together. And then they, out of respect, they named their baby Aaron. So when I give Shalom Bayis classes, I point out from this Medrash, let's remember when they lived. They lived in the Midbar. No financial issues in the Midbar. There was no issues about you spent too much money on the credit card. There's no issues you spending too much money. And still, there were Shalom Bayis problems. So what do we see from here? Shalom Bayis has nothing to do with your financial status. And I can tell you firsthand, I've been involved with couples that are extremely wealthy have Shalom Bayis problems. Couples that are extremely poor have Shalom Bayis. Everyone has Shalom Bayis because it's nothing to do with your money. It has to do with you being a person. So it's a Gavaldic ride. There was nothing to fight. What did they fight about? What were the fights about? Money? Tuition? There's no tuition. Where to go for winter break? Okay, maybe they fought about that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Where do you go for winter break in the Midbar? I'm not sure. Where do you go? Who do you go for you know, first days of Pesach? I don't know. Whatever. But no financial struggles. You know, she could buy all the shoes she wants because she only wore one pair of shoes. They never wore out. What was there to fight about? Elamai, you see that Shalom Bayis has nothing to do with your financial situation. It's for some people, they don't think. So I gave you this share yesterday. The guy comes up and he says, you're wrong. Every fight is about money. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, 95% are about money. But there's still percentages that are not about money. There are other things to fight about. So Aaron was the Rabbi Shalom Bayis. Aaron was the greatest Shalom Bayis maker in the world. So what do you mean they were equal? Moshe wasn't known for his Shalom Bayis talent, and Aaron wasn't known for his Nevuah talent. So how could they be equal? So the Achronim point out, equal doesn't mean they were the same person. Equal means they each had a part that they brought to the table that was essential, and together they created the whole picture. Meaning they weren't equal in the sense that they were exactly the same. They were equal that they both had talents, which they both brought, which they both did completely, which both were equally essential for leadership role. That's what equal means. Right, we live in a world today that equal means whatever you can do, I have to do. Equal means men and women have to be equal. It means they have to both use the same bathroom. No. Equal means you're both equally important, but you're still allowed to be separate. The Torah is reminding us that roles doesn't mean, equal doesn't mean whatever you're doing, I'm doing, and I have to be the same as you. It means we're equally important. Moshe and Aaron were both essential to the development of Klai Yisrael and the development of the leadership. But the question still is, so why can Hashem just make one person who could do everything? Make one person who could be the man. So I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us a very important lesson in life, that sometimes we have to realize, as hard as it is to swallow, we are not perfect. There are certain things we can't do, and we need other people to complement us. And Hashem is teaching us that that's okay, because Moshe Aaron wasn't perfect. Moshe Aaron was not good at Shalom Bayis, and Aaron wasn't the biggest Navi, and Moshe wasn't a great speaker. It's okay. You strive at what you're good for, succeed at what you're good at, and what you can't, allow others to compensate for your shortcomings. We live in a world where we like to be perfect, right? What's this, how's the saying go? Anything you can do, I can do better. Absolutely not true. It's totally not true. At least not from a Jewish point of view. There are certain talents that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me and he didn't give you, and vice versa. And I can stand in my head, I won't be able to do it. That's because Hashem doesn't want me doing it. He wants me to realize I have to come onto someone else. And it's extremely humbling. When you realize you can't do something, it reminds you that I'm not perfect. I have my flaws, and therefore I am no better than him. Because I can do X and Y, but I can't do Z. It reminds us that we need each other. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu b'davka structured the two greatest leaders and the building of Klal Yisrael to realize that we're not one person could do everything. We all like to think we could. Not one person could do everything. That's why we have to surround ourselves by people that can also do things. Every company, the head of the company, the CEO, he has other people that can do things because he knows he can't do everything. If he's smart, he learns how to delegate and to bring in people that can help him where he is not good. I think our president... Right. I think our president actually tries to do this. He might think he knows everything, but when you know you don't know everything, so you surround yourself around people that are smarter than you, and you let them help you out and where you're not so good at. But it's an extremely humbling experience. I think the Torah is reminding us, if you want to do anything of spirituality, you have to be able to spread it. Let other people be involved. Let other people get in on this. Let other people share. Rabbi Salavitcher coined it a little differently. He said that Moshe was more of like the Rosh Hashiva, and Aaron was more like a Rebbe. Meaning Aaron really spoke to people's hearts. Now, not everyone is... Yeah. Right. Not everyone can handle that, you know, tough litzvisha. This is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you know. Some people need a little bit more loving, a little calmer, a little softer. That's Aaron's role. Now, there's a reason why they make vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry flavor of ice cream. Not everyone likes the same thing. Not everyone goes the same path in life. Some people need this type, and some people need this type. And the Torah is reminding us, that's all fine, that's all great. But we have to be able to spread it out. We have to have one style for Moshe's style, and an Aaron style, and this style, and that style. But we all have to come under the same banner of what we're trying to accomplish. We're all trying to come closer to the Kodesh Baruch. I think it's an important lesson in life. And this is what we talk about in a relationship, in a spouse relationship, husband and wife. Both essential roles. Is the husband the wife, and the wife the husband? Of course not. But they're both essential. They're equal. What do you mean, how can they be equal? The answer is that's exactly what it means. Equal means they're essential. You can't have a healthy relationship unless you have a father and a mother together working their own roles. The father's not trying to be the mother, the mother's not trying to be the father. Everyone understands their role and they embrace it and they understand their shortcomings and therefore they allow their spouse to compensate for their mistakes. Okay, holding over here in the sugya of Hiddur Mitzvah. Today's shir is you guys already saw the Ma'amar Kermis, so you ready? If I know, today is a Salavetchik shir. I think we have six Salavetchiks on the page today. We're going to at least mention the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rav, Reb Moshe Salavetchik, Rabbi Salavetchik, Reb David Salavetchik, that's six, and the Dvar Ramu was a cousin. So we got six Salavetchiks, and the Dvar Ramu was a cousin. So we'll try to tackle the sugya today of Hiddur Mitzvah. So let's just remind ourselves, it's interesting, the real sugya of Hiddur Mitzvah comes up really here in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. So this is really the place for it, so we're really going to spend some time tackling the real sugya of what we know today as Hiddur Mitzvah. So let's just see the Gemara one more time. But the Gemara by us was discussing, thank you, the Gemara was discussing Tzitzin She'eim Akven Esamil. The Gemara discussed the Shaila, if you have these strands that do not make the Mila not kosher, it does not invalidate the Mila, are you allowed to go back and fix them on Shabbos? So the Gemara said, depends. If you're still in the middle, you haven't yet stopped what you were doing, you're still involved in the procedure, then you go back. Bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos, which is what we spoke a little bit about last week. We'll talk more about it this week. It means you're allowed to go back on Shabbos for an unnecessary cut, which means you're going to be making a chavallah, technically, which is shalei l'tzairich. It's not justified. Why is it mutter on Shabbos? We'll see in a few minutes. But if it's already pirish, if you stopped, you pulled back, you pulled your hands down, then the Gemara says you can't go back for those strands that are not ma'akit.
Why is the question
bein b'chol? No, so we mentioned there's a machloikis rishonim between the Rambam and the Tor. Do you go back for those strands during the week? So the Rambam is of the opinion that you don't go back for those strands even during the week. The Rambam is of the opinion that if those strands that are not ma'akiv, and you put down the Miles knife, and it's a regular Tuesday, you don't go back for those strands. Why? So that we mentioned four or five mahalchim, why you don't go back. The simplest answer, just for a quick review, is we'll go with the Beis Halevi. So this way we mentioned the first of the Salavetchiks, the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi says because the idea of Hiddur Mitzvah is only once you're still involved in the Mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is completed, the mitzvah is already over, the mitzvah is to do the milah, and you already finished the milah, there's no concept of hiddur mitzvah, and therefore there's nothing to go back for. You accomplish nothing by going back. We mentioned the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer discussed the problem of doing a chavala shalai l'tzarich, and we discussed a big mahal from Rabbi Weiss. That was all in last week's shir.
So let's just... The hiddur mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos.
Oh, that's what I want to get to this week. You see from the Gemara that hiddur mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos. How could hiddur mitzvah be Deicha Shabbos? Question number one. And secondly, is Hidda Mitzvah Dinda Rice or is Hidda Mitzvah only Dinda Rabbanon? So that's what we're going to get to today. So let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Again, the Gemara is trying to figure out who's the Tan of our Mishnah. What was our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that you don't go back for Tzitzin She'enim Akvin once you stopped, once you took a break. So the Gemara says, who is this? Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Yochanan ben Berakhia. Number one. It was a Mishnah. The Mishnah said Koil, and the Mishnah came to include Tzitzin She'enim Akvin. Right? The Mishnah quoted a Braisa. But it was Pshat in our Mishnah. But we're really saying Pshat in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, who's the Tanya? It's Shmuel ben Yosef Yochanan ben Berakhia. The Tanya. We learned in a Braisa. Arba also Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so the problem is you have to prep the Karban Pesach to be brought later that day. So now, in order to prep the Karban Pesach, what do you have to do? You have to open up the animal, and you have to be able to open the animal, take out all the certain insides to make the animal ready for hakrav.
Is the animal still alive?
No, the animal could be dead already, but you still have to skin it. When do you kill it? No. Is the animal still? I don't know. I'm not sure if the animals. I guess we gotta get to the Pesachim and the Dafyemi. No. Right. No, you shecht it on Erev Pesach and then you eat it b'leila. Right. When you're mafshit it, as you shecht it, then you mafshit it. Right. Then you mafshit it. Right. Then you mafshit it. So what does it say by us? Mafshit a Pesach ad hachaz. You go up to the chest. Because that's the, you need to get to high enough to get out all the insides. Then you mafshit it. You take out the insides and you stop. Divi Reb Shmuel ben Yosef Rechem Break. V'chamayim b'mafshitin is kula. No. Once you skinned it that far, you can do it the whole way. So the Gemara says, what's the machoikis? The Gemara thinks that according to Reb Shmuel ben Yosef Rechem Break, once you got to what you need and you stopped, and then you started to yank out all the insides, to start again would be unjustified. That's the same thing as putting down the Miles knife. While according to the Chachamim, there's no problem, even though you stopped, you can continue. So the Gemara thinks Reb Shmuel ben Yosef Yechim and Breika is the Tanar of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, Shaykh. It's me,
Mai. Where does it say that the Chachamim say that you stop? They just said you continue all the way.
Right, so the question we're assuming is you have to stop to take out the insides, which is why you're being mashed.
Nobody argues if you haven't stopped, you can continue.
Right, but everyone's agreeing that in this case you, by definition, are stopping because you want to take out the inside. That's why you were mashed.
You
scabbed the chest, took it out, and then you want to continue. So Gemara says, this Gemara has nothing to do with our Gemara. Why? Mimai. At Kalikom Rebbe Yishmol B'nai Yishem Rechim B'reik HaSom B'shem Doloi Be'in On Zeh Keli Vanvei. Over there, there's no reason to be mafshit the whole animal. There's nothing to gain. You don't make the animal any more beautiful by being mafshit the whole thing. Aval Hacha, but in our Sugya, the Be'in On Zeh Keli Vanvei. But in our Gemara, there is a reason to go back, even if I already put down the knife. Why? This is the kicker. For Zeh Keli Vanvei. Make the mitzvahs beautiful. The Hachinami, the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. It says in the Chumash, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. We say it every single day. Zeh Keli Van Veyu. Sag to Gemara, his snoe lefon of the mitzvahs. Beautify me, do mitzvahs nicely. I say lefon of sukkah no, make a nice sukkah. Now let's look carefully at each example of the Braisa. Sukkah no, lulav no, shayfer no, tzitzis no. Tzitzis pashas means the strings. Have nice strings. Sefer Torah no, have a nice Sefer Torah. The kasaba lishma, and the sefer Torah should be written lishma. B'diyoyna, you shouldn't just use any ink. You should use nice ink. B'kulmasna, you should use a nice pen. Stamazay, you have to. What was the nice pen mean? That looks nice on the outside, or the nice pen means it writes nicely. So then, okay, we'll talk about it. Like one of those pens they were giving out at the Nancy Pelosi was giving out. Those very very nice pens. Those were quite a pen over there. Okay?
Where were you, Rabbi?
Who was that? I didn't get the pen. I just saw a picture.
Which
you signed the impeachment with. Those are some fancy pens. I guess that's what the Gemara means over here, but a Kol Masnah.
When you bring a Korban, do you take the fur off? Or when you burn the Korban on the Mizbeah, is it skinned?
Yeah.
So isn't that a...
But again, when you skin it, it's not going to affect the actual mitzvah of the Korban. It doesn't make it any more nice.
No, it's nicer if it's skinned.
So the Gemara discusses...
So the
Gemara grad discusses Masechah Shabbos, but this Gemara also comes up. The Gemara discusses that the Havamina was that it's taka nicer for the animal. It doesn't rot. There are other perks of skinning it initially instead of waiting. The Gemara does discuss such a possibility. But here the Gemara thinks in the actual mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, it doesn't affect it, which we'll have to talk about in a few minutes. The Lablor Uman, he's supposed to use a good cipher. The Korcho B'shiroyim Noin. And you should wrap the Sefer Torah with nice wrappings. That should bother all of us. What mitzvah is that? What are you beautifying there?
What do you mean?
What is the hidden mitzvah of what? What are you making nicer?
The mitzvah.
You're saying, so this is the shah we have to get to today. You're saying there's a concept of just beautifying a Chavtashal mitzvah, even though it's not while you're doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is already over, right?
So that would be right.
This is what we mentioned from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi has a yisoid. This is where the Biskarov gets involved. The Beis Halevi has a yisoid that there's no hider mitzvah after the mitzvah is over. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah. So the moment you write the last letter, the mitzvah is over. So now I decorate the Sefer Torah. Beautiful. What did I do? I'm not being mechuder the mitzvah. The mitzvah is over. So you're suggesting it's not the mitzvah, it's the chefter shel mitzvah. Okay? We'll talk about such lumdas.
Or the mitzvah continues, like the bris milah.
But the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah continues.
No, that's the mitzvah of the makabes.
We're going to have to figure out what the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah is. Is the mitzvah to learn from the sefer Torah? Is it to write the sefer Torah? We'll have to get to that. Then the Gemara says, Abushol Eimer, this I don't think we'll get to this week, but we'll keep this in mind for next week. V'anveyu. Abushol has a different understanding of the pasuk zek keli v'anvei. We read the pasuk zek keli, this is my Hashem. V'anveyu, and I will make it beautiful. I will do things beautiful for him. Says Abba Shol, no. V'anveyu means have a doim aloy. It means you should be similar to HaKadosh Baruch. Mahu chanun v'racham, just like HaKadosh Baruch, who is merciful and compassionate. Av ata hayu chanun v'racham. So the question is Abba Shol arguing on the concept of Hidr Mitzvah? Or Abba Shol is just arguing on how to read the pasuk? But of course he agrees that there's something called Hidr Mitzvah. If Abba Shol argues on the whole din of Hidr Mitzvah, so then this Gemara is very simple.
Exactly.
There's no such thing Hidr Mitzvah. That's the answer to the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara wanted to know who says you don't go back for Tzitzit Shein HaMachan. I'll tell you who it is. It's Abba Shol. Because Abba Shol holds there's no such thing called Hidr Mitzvah. If there's no such thing called Hidr Mitzvah, then there's absolutely no justification for going back for cutting these strands that are not Ma'akav the Mila. So Blineda, we'll see next week, we'll see a Rambam, we'll see a Ritva. That Pashas Abba Shol is not arguing on the din of Hidr Mitzvah, he's just arguing on the Mekar. He thinks Zek Kelev Anvei was not the place to learn from, but he agrees in principle. And that will be very relevant, but we'll for next week's show. But what I want from...
It won't be Doraisa necessarily, according to
him. To Abishol.
Yeah.
Perhaps. You have to know where
maybe it's another possible.
Maybe it's another possible. Now, we'll see even today, even if you learn from Zek Kelev Anvei, does that make it Doraisa, or is that only an Asmachta? Because everyone has the Kasha. Right? It's a very funny place to teach us about mitzvahs when we didn't yet get mitzvahs. But this was talking about by the Shira. We didn't even get the Torah yet. If you want to teach me Hidr Mitzvahs, well, first give me the mitzvahs, and then tell me this da din of Hidr Mitzvahs. Here we got Zekeh Vanveyu even before we even got mitzvahs. So that might be, that this might only be an asmacht, only din the Rabban. We'll get to that in a few seconds.
How do you learn out Zekeh Vanveyu by the Shir? This is my Akash Baruch and make him nice to Hidr Mitzvahs. I mean, even before that.
It's a drushas chazal. So the question is, how far does this drusha go? Is this a simple reading of the pasuk, or this is a deeper level of interpretation?
How did they put mitzvah?
Right. There's no concept of mitzvahs at this point. There's no reason to think mitzvahs. Okay, so this is the Gemara that's the Mekor for Hidr Mitzvah. So we mentioned last week, the Biskarov points this out, that the Biskarov is bothered with the Kasha, that how can you go back for Tzitzit She'enim Akvin on Shabbos? The Gemara says that if you did not yet put down the knife, you're still in the middle of cutting, and you realize there are the strands you forgot to cut, and those strands do not invalidate the mila. The mila is kasha. So the Gemara says, as long as you don't put down the knife, you're allowed to go back. Why? It's kasha b'diavad. You know, it's not l'chatchila, it's b'diavad. The mila is kasha. You fulfill the mitzvah of b'yom hashmini imo. And the Gemara says, why would you go back for the extra strands? Only because of hidr mitzvah. So asks the Biskarov, 1 second, I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos for hidr mitzvah? I'm allowed to violate Shabbos for Hidr Mitzvah. I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos for Mila. I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos for a separate din called Hidr Mitzvah.
So why is that even a question? If it was only a Bidiyevet in the first place, isn't there a difference?
No.
Going from Bidiyevet to Lechatchila is not Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah is a separate thing.
But in this case, if I go back for those strands, I make this now the preferred way.
Making a Lechatchila.
Right, but...
Not a Hidr Mitzvah.
So you...
Right? Hidr Mitzvah on top of the Lechatchila theory.
Again,
getting it to
lechatchila means when you're doing it, you should have got everything right first time.
So when he did it, and he left the strands. He was yotze b'di'evet, not lechatchila.
Right.
To get to the level of lechatchila, which is the preferred way.
That's not true. The Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara says the only motivation to go back for these strings would be because there's a din of Hidr Mitzvah.
I'm asking, why is that the only motivation?
Why else should you go back?
To get it to Lechatchila.
But that's what the words B'dievet mean by definition. It means you already did it. The Torah says there's rules of how to do it, and if you already did it. So if you come to the rabbi and you say, Rabbi, this is what I already did. The rabbi says, great, you already did the mitzvah, check, move on.
And then someday you don't go back and do it.
According to the Torah, you would. According to the Rambam, you wouldn't. That's the machlokes
b'shein. Even the first time around, why should you be allowed to do the tzitzit?
Okay. So the pashup shot is you're going to have to say. So what does the Biskarov say? So let's get the Biskarov's shot out. The Biskarov says like this, and we'll see. Reb Chaim is going
to
elaborate on this.
Right.
So the Biskarov says, and Reb Chaim is going to bring this out. We'll say the Biskarov first. Says the Biskarov, you see from this Gemara that Hidr Mitzvah is not a Dover study. You can ask yourself the following Chakira. When we talk about Hidr Mitzvah, is there a din called Sukkah? There's a din called Lulav. That's a separate din. And you got to buy a lulav, whatever the rules of lulav are. There's another din written in the pasuk of Zekelim Anveyu, that besides for buying a regular lulav and buying a regular sukkah, you also have a din of hiddur. But it's not connected to the actual mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah called hiddur mitzvah. That's one way of understanding it. So we spoke about this before also once. That could be by sukkah. That also is a mitzvah. The building the sukkah might also be a mitzvah. It might also be a mitzvah, depending on how you learn. So let's go lulav, right? You have to have a nice lulav. So there's rules in Shulchan Aruch what a lulav looks like. So when I go and I buy whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, I'm here to the mitzvah. But then someone shows me a fancier lulav. So what motivates me to buy the fancier lulav? So either it's because in Hilchas lulav there's a din that you have to do the mitzvah, and you also have another din to do the mitzvah nicer. That's one way of looking at it. Or it's not a Hilchas Lulav thing. It's a Kol HaTorah Kula thing, that every time there's a mitzvah, there's a separate din called Zekei L'Mavei, which dictates I always have to get a nicer object. Says the Bishkei Rav, you see from this Gemara, that it's not a Dovet study. It's not a separate mitzvah called Zekei L'Mavei. If it were to be a separate mitzvah, Zekei L'Mavei, that's not Deicha Shabbos. But it's not. It's a part of the mitzvah of Mila. And since the mitzvah of Mila is Deicha Shabbos, and wrapped into the mitzvah of Mila is a din called Hidr Mitzvah, that allows me to be Mechal the Shabbos. That's the Biskarov's Raya from this Kimar. But once you put it down, right? So then you have to. So then the mitzvah's over, you have to figure out the lums. Says Reb Chaim.
Why would the Gemara delineate all the types of mitzvahs if it's Chal Tara Kula?
So we're going to have to talk about each one of the examples of the Gemara are unique. And we'll have to deal with each one, why the Gemara gave certain examples. So let's see. So in Rishim Shurim on Baba Kama, right, the other place this sugya comes up is Baba Kama Daf Tes. Many years ago we did Baba Kama. Maybe we should go back to one of these days. We didn't get to Daf Tes, don't worry. Daf Tes, this is the part that they don't always learn in Yeshiva. Because if you learn Baba Kama, they learn Baba Kama in two ways. They learn from Daf Beis till Daf Tes. Because there's Meitav in the middle, right? Once you get to Davav, there's the Sugya of Meitav, which is hard. So many yeshivas skip from like Zion to Tesem Beis. Tesem Beis, there's a Mishnah that talks about Bar. That's the Sugya of Bar, that's Kishmak. The Sugya of Hidden Mitzvah is right before the Sugya of Bar. So it usually gets skipped in the yeshivas when they learn it, because they usually start from Dav Tes, or they do Beis to Vav, and they never get to Tesem and Aleph on the Beis. So we're going to see the Sugya of Hidden Mitzvah comes up in Baba Kama, Dav Tesem Beis. So if you look over there in Rabbi Salvechik Shurim, in the Rishima Shurim of Baba Kama, he brings down from his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim said more than the Briskerov. He says like this: "B'negei lehidah mitzvah, yesh lam nadasa going Reb Chaim." It's known that Reb Chaim held shtei halachas b'din zekei l'manveil. Reb Chaim said, "Not only is there one understand, not only is it a hakira, they're both correct. There's two types of hidah mitzvah," says Reb Chaim. Now he explains: "Choyva is nora shebchal haTorah kula." There's the typical case where in all mitzvahs in chal haTorah kula, whatever the mitzvah is, you attach to that a din of doing it nicer. She'enei ma'ilo oy mishanis etzem kiyam mitzvah eluzel kiyam miyuchad. Says Reb Chaim, it doesn't change the mitzvah. The mitzvah of sukkah doesn't change, but you get a check for doing mitzvahs nicer. The way we said it before was we'd call this a dovet study. That's a separate mitzvah. The mitzvah of sukkah is sukkah. This is the mitzvah. Box it in as a mitzvah, and I did the mitzvah, I get a check. Then I get another check for doing hiddur mitzvah, but it didn't affect the actual mitzvah that I did. That's tzad number one, says Reb Chaim. Tzad number two, noi shechal be'etzem ha-mitzvah v'hamishan eskim ha-mitzvah atzmai le-mitzvah yoseh mehadura. I actually changed my mitzvah. It's a better sukkah. It's a better lulav. Not just I get a check for sukkah and a check for hidden mitzvah. I get a double check for sukkah. I did a better sukkah. My sukkah changed. My lulav changed. My shofar changed. Those are the two types of hidden mitzvah, says Reb Chaim. Now, where do you see these two types of hidden mitzvah? So Rabbi Salvation explains. Reb Chaim says, where do you see the second type? The type that the mitzvah changes? That's our Gemara. Why is it our Gemara explains? Because in our Gemara, you're allowed to be Mechal the Shabbos. If it's only a Dovet study, if Hidr Mitzvah is only a separate din called do the mitzvah, check. Now, you did Hidr Mitzvah, another check. But it's a separate mitzvah. So then Kasha was, how is a separate mitzvah allowed to be Deicha Shabbos? Elamai says, Rabbi Salvechik, what do you learn from here? Let's just read it inside. Hagrach mistayim in adir amavor mizakha Shabbos. Ubi ram aperek beiz melchaz mila shakoz man shayis mila chaz b'shabbos. Alta zishen makras amila v'hinei. Choyvas mila sitzin ha'elu no medis makro zekei lanveyu. Why am I allowed to go back for those strands? That's only because of zekei lanveyu. It has to be that when I go back and I fix those strands, I'm not just getting a check for doing hidden mitzvah, I'm getting a check for doing the mitzvah of Mila nicer. I'm changing Mila. Why? Because if not, how do you justify it being Deicha Shabbos? You can't be Deicha Shabbos for a regular mitzvah. It has to be the mitzvah of Mila. So therefore, it must be b'din zeh shel esnoy lefanav yesh chalois be'etzem mitzvos hamil.
But he's not saying this is a din
Torah. No.
He's saying there's two types.
That's right. So Reb Chaim is saying what we mentioned last week from the Brisker Rav, that you see from our Gemara, that hiddur mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah, says Reb Chaim, not so fast. Not all hiddur mitzvahs are created the same. Many of the cases on the page, Reb Chaim will elaborate, Reb Salvech will elaborate in a second, are one way. They're doing the mitzvah, one, then getting another check for making the mitzvah beautiful. But Mila, at least Mila, says Reb Chaim, is one way. Mila is, I'm changing the Maisa HaMitzvah. I'm doing a different type of Mila. Not that Pshat, I'm doing Mila and I'm doing Hiddur. I'm doing a different type of Mila.
So can you say that the...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't remember all the examples, but it seems like all the other examples, Sukkah, Lulav, Tzitzis, Sefer Torah, all that, doing it in Hiddur is making it nicer, but it was always complete. So, in other words, you have a choice between one Esrog and another Esrog. Both Esrogs are
accepted.
They're both complete. They're complete items. You're just picking a nicer one, okay?
And here?
Sefer Torah, right, whatever. You could use this quill or that quill. They're both complete. Here, I know it's b'di'eved, you're mekayim the mitzvah, right. But it's still not complete because all of the orla isn't gone. So there's a difference that you're actually completing the mitzvah.
Right, but if you...
Even though you've been Mekayim the mitzvah, physically you're doing
it. Right, but if you look at it, it's the same way you look at an Esrog and say, well, technically this is all the Torah the requires of me.
Requirement. I'm saying there's a physical difference.
And that physical is only relevant if it's halachic. If you didn't need...
I don't know, maybe...
If this
the
is
only
not,
one that has that difference is what I'm saying.
Right, but if you look...
all these examples.
Right, but if you look at it as just being extra skin that's irrelevant to the mitzvah of meal, and there's no reason why you'd have to cut that. The only reason why we're cutting it is because it's affected the mitzvah part of it. If, let's, for example, this tzitzin would have no halachic status, then it would just be like any piece of skin that the mayor doesn't have to cut. And the mayor wouldn't go back for just cosmetic purposes. So this is not cosmetic because of hiddur mitzvah.
Maybe it's not cosmetic because it's still part of it. It's something that the mohel ordinarily would have cut in the process. In this particular case,
right.
He missed it or whatever.
Right.
So
but the halacha doesn't require that to be cut because of the fact it's kosher without it.
I'm just trying to make the distinction between that particular and having a physical differentiation between all the others, which is purely halachic.
Sorry.
Because they're physically complete.
Because the Maisa Mitzvah is done.
Right, but the Mitzvah part is what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on the Mitzvah element, you know, from with Mitzvah.
But all Hiddur is not an aesthetic.
Oh, that's a big question we have to get to. How do you ever look at Hiddur? Hiddur, who decides what's a nicer Esrog? The guy who sells it, the guy who knows the expertise, the guy who knows all the halachas, or the average guy on the street? The Tehama Lemon looks nicer than the Esrog.
Look at Hanukkah, so you have more candles, that's Hiddur.
We got to get to Hanukkah, that's what we have to get to today also.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll have to see, how do we define Hiddur Mitzvah? Yeah, Mr. Shem, we'll get to that.
I'm saying that this is not going to be a chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, all these older guys, you know, forget it.
It's a separate type of Zekeli, is just separate apple. Why shouldn't it be a separate bracha?
So Reb Moshe Salvechik has a similar kasha. He says, "If so, why is it not counted?" I was back to him in a second. Keep track of how many salvations we mentioned today. So if Moshe Salvation is going to have a kasha, then it should be a separate mitzvah. It should be in the minyan mitzvahs.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that right now. But I just want to finish up. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Okay.
I understand. I feel you.
Same I guess it would be part of the same kasha. It's a good kasha. If it's a mitzvah from the Athens, you get a bracha. Yeah.
So I understand this correctly. Is he then saying that you could go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos, and there's no Chalo Shabbos because you're making the mitzvah itself better, right?
You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Mila.
Right, but who says by doing it to a better level you can be Mechal Shabbos?
That's what Hiddur Mitzvah is. His Raya from the Gemara. The Gemara says you can violate the Shabbos for Hiddur Mitzvah. The only way to explain it, says Reb Chaim, is if you hold Hiddur Mitzvah as a chelik of the kiyum of the Mila.
Right, so I'm saying, so from here he's bringing a Raya that if you do the mitzvah better, then you can be Mechal Shabbos. In other words, if you just did a b'di'evet, okay, but by doing it better, that's psak halacha, then you could now...
No, he's explaining that Hiddur Mitzvah means I'm changing the mitzvah of Mila. I'm fulfilling Mila. And Mila is Deicha Shabbos. I'm doing mitzvah. When I go back for these tzitzin, what am I doing?
Yeah, but maybe just a stam Mila is Deicha Shabbos.
Right.
He says,
this is Mila. No, because a Mila Mehuder is Mila. I mean, the way Reb Chaim says it, what am I doing here? When the Miles goes back for the Tzitzim Akhli, is he doing the mitzvah of Mila or is he doing the mitzvah of Hiddur Mitzvah? So Reb Chaim is doing the mitzvah of Mila. Mila requires you to do it and do it nicer as possible. So I'm really doing a Mila. Oh, Mila's Deicha Shabbos. That's Reb Chaim's understanding.
How does it get out of the problem that if you put
put the knife down.
Because then the mitzvah meal is over already. There's no more mitzvah. Mitzvah's done. Like the Beis HaLevi. Okay, good. So you have to pshat the like according to the Beis HaLevi said it.
No, but the also that the Yidder mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah.
Yeah, but the mitzvah's over.
It's not over.
It is. Once you put down the knife, the mitzvah ends.
No, but according to the first pshat.
That's the machlokes. No, but he holds the mitzvah ends once you finish the cutting. So once I cut, the mitzvah's over.
But his first definition is that the was part and parcel. But the mitzvah, but the mitzvah's over.
Because if you hold the mitzvah as the cutting, then the mitzvah's over once the knife goes put down.
If you hold the mitzvah
that's the machlokes we're showing him. If you hold the mitzvah is to be gemalt or to have a milo, so then the mitzvah continues.
So how do they explain that? If you put the knife down, you can't go back. Nobody says you can go back. On Shabbos. Yeah. You should be able to go back on Shabbos.
No, because once you put the knife down on Shabbos, then the mitzvah's over. That's the whole point.
You missed out on the Hiddur mitzvah.
But you can only do Hiddur mitzvah if there's a mitzvah still alive. That's the base of Levi's first, he said.
And you can't say that the mitzvah and the Hiddur mitzvah
it is.
Together.
It does, while I have a mitzvah. Once I put down the knife and the baby's gemalt, so the mitzvah's over. So
the
mitzvah's over.
Out the mitzvah,
so no, but the mitzvah's over. Hiddur mitzvah is attached to the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is no longer relevant, so the Hiddur mitzvah is no longer relevant. That's the way the Beis HaLevi will explain it. So Reb Chaim says Gevaldikov. He says Milvad ze kayim din noi kloli. There's a general din. Alarz alat sitzus shein marachon afilu pirush adem amilo. Achoyol ve'ein ze kiyim mitzvahs milo lefichach ein adeichas yishabas benoi ha-kloli ha-noig mitzvahs b'chol ha-tari kula. Says Reb Chaim, by sitzus shein marachon, once you put down the knife, you can't go back for the general, because that general mitzvah is a mitzvah study. The mitzvah study is not the yishabas. You can only go back for the chelik that's part of the mitzvah milo.
Even when you're doing that, maybe you have to stop.
Why?
Because if you continue, it's Hiddur mitzvah, and you don't have a
and Achrami, I guess if you can, that'll be better. This way you have the ability to do Hiddur mitzvah, right? We're talking about after the fact. But listen to what he writes over here. He says, Sukin no lul, no shoifin, no kadoimah, ain ha no mishanis etzim ki yuma shalom mitzvahs. When I sit in a fancy sukkah, I am not changing the mitzvah of sukkah. A hefrish bein yeshiv la sukkah, no li yeshiv sukkah, bli no, ain a bimitzvah yeshiva sukkah atzmoy. I am not going to get a bigger check for the mitzvah of sukkah if I sit in a nicer sukkah. Ela b'mitzvah zekeilu v'aveu k'mitzvah miyuchedus la'atzma. Says Reb Chaim, or the way Reb Salvation explains it is, it's a separate mitzvah. Two separate checks. I get a check for sitting in a sukkah, check. And I'll get another check for doing hiddur mitzvah. But my kiyum, my mitzvah sukkah, did not change whatsoever. What? It's a David study. Because that's how we understood zekeilu v'aveu. It's a David study. It's a separate part. Doesn't change the mitzvah. But it just is a separate thing that the Torah wants you. A mitzvah study, a separate mitzvah, not attached to the mitzvah, but a general mitzvah that you always have to do mitzvahs nicely. What? By sukkah, shofar, but not by meal. So then he quotes from his father, but his father frecked on Reb Chaim, one second. If you, father asked on the father, frecked Moshe Soloveitchik, one second. If you accept Reb Chaim's notion, that there's two types of Hiddur mitzvah. Till now, we were learning last week, like the Biskarov, that there's only one type. And every type of Hiddur mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Our raya was from Mila, but we apply Mila to all the mitzvahs. But now, Reb Chaim is saying it doesn't work like that. Not every mitzvah works that way. It works that way by Mila, but not by other mitzvahs. If you tell me now, it's a separate mitzvah. I did lulav, check. I did hiddur mitzvah, check. Two separate mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah lulav, and one is a mitzvah didn't call hiddur mitzvah. So imkain the einay chelik madu leimana haramam kmitzvah ifnei atzmoi. Why doesn't the Rambam count it as a separate mitzvah? Separate mitzvah.
So don't they talk about? That's one of the parameters of where Rambam counts the mitzvahs. If it's part of the mitzvah, it doesn't.
But here he's saying it's not part of the mitzvah. He said, I'll get to that in a second. So frekdu meishes alvej. One second. If you buy into zekeil v'aveil being a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of lulav, shofar, sukkah. And then there's rules of Shulchan Aruch, how those look. And when you fulfill that parameter, you got to check. And there's another din, that every mitzvah you should try to do it nicer. So when I go out and spend extra $15 on the lulav, I don't get a check for lulav, I get a check for hiddur mitzvah. But it's a separate mitzvah. So frekt of Moshe Salveik, so it should be counted as a separate mitzvah. There should be a mitzvah called lulav, a mitzvah called shofar, and a mitzvah called hiddur mitzvah. That was his kash. So he leaves off at Tzorachin.
But just going back to the bris, so according to this, it's part of the mitzvah,
right.
Not a separate mitzvah.
That's right.
So how does that affect Shabbos and the...
That's why you're allowed to be Deicha Shabbos.
You're allowed to go back.
Because I'm being Mechal Shabbos for Mila. Mila is Deicha Shabbos.
So even if you put the knife down,
No, once you as long as the knife is still in your hand. Okay. So what's the answer to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's kasha? So on the footnote, they have a couple of twists. There's a couple of answers I think you can give. Without being an expert in Klali HaMitzvah Sala HaRambam, I don't claim to be. I know people that are. I'm not. But you have to know what the Rambam put into his list and what he didn't. So one answer could be right off the bat is who said this is a Din D'Oraisa. It's very possible, and we'll see it's a big Machlokes B'Shanim, if the whole Din of Zekei Laveh is only a Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. If you hold it's only D'Rabbanan, so then it's not sure why the Rambam didn't put in Sefer HaMitzvahs. There's only one problem. If it's going to be the Rabbanan, how's it Deicha Shabbos?
It's not.
Depending if you learn like Reb Chaim. If you don't learn like Reb Chaim, okay, we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Like, we had that film, you know, the Rabbanan have the power to alter how...
Okay, good. We'll talk about that. The other answer...
Is there a clause like something that applies to all mitzvahs is encountered?
I don't know. Could be. Could be there. Again, there are, that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of rules. I don't know all of them. I do think one of them, I think I remember in my head, is that it's not. It doesn't say mefurish in the pasuk to do it. It doesn't say avan veo means do mitzvahs nicely. It's a drush. I think in order to make it, it has to be someone more mefurish. I think. I mean, maybe I made that up. I don't know.
So maybe it's, but, a separate mitzvah. Maybe it's a separate mitzvah, yeah. Like you're saying, but it's not counted by the Rambam because there's no rules on that mitzvah. It's a purely subjective mitzvah.
No, there are rules. We're going to see in the Gemara has rules. How much you have to do and how to do it. There are rules.
Those are maximums, but... You know, in other words, if I spend 15 or I spend 20, is one hitter and not the other one's not hitter?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. You're not allowed to go over certain limits.
Those may not be the right.
That's also Machlokes Rishonim. That might also be a Machlokes Rishonim. We'll get to that hopefully at some point. So it's an interesting Ahara. It's an Ahara from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. If you accept, I mean, Vishlomo, the way we learned without Reb Chaim, there's only one type, so everything's a Gishmak. But now that we're experiencing, there's two types. On the second type, you have this Ahara of why is it not a separate bracha? Okay, a separate mitzvah. Maybe your kash also, they should get a separate bracha. If it's not a real mitzvah, then we should make a bracha.
A better
bracha,
because even,
a better
kash, because even if it's drabon,
you still make a bracha. Right. Then you'd have a kash, why don't you make a bracha? That's a good question as well, according to Reb Chaim's pshat. Okay, now, that's Reb Chaim's chiddush of today, that there's two types of hidden mitzvah. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tesma Beis, number 3. This is a Gemara that's very, very relevant for a couple of reasons. The Gemara is over there is discussing the idea that you're supposed to spend money for mitzvahs. So the Gemara says you're supposed to spend the third. A third of one's estate, he should spend the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Elameyat, the top line. Yisramile tilsa mitzvah, so leisiv lekula base. The Gemara says, if I have to spend the third for three mitzvahs, so for a mitzvah, so if I get three mitzvahs come down, I have to spend all my money. So obviously there's a mathematical problem over here. Right, it's a third of what you have, not a third from the top. Okay, I and the accountants by Richos will be asked by this Gemara to us, but that's the cash on the Gemara. But that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says if you have to spend a third of your money on mitzvahs, so if you have three mitzvahs, yeah, what do you have? So the Gemara thinks if a third of what I have, so if I have three mitzvahs come, I got to blow all. I have no money. So the Gemara says that can't be. Says the Gemara, Yisramli tilsa mitzvahs aleisiv lekula besa. I got to give away my whole estate. That can't be.
I thought the question was you would never be able to do any more mitzvahs. You spend all your money in the first three, you can't do it.
That's really part of the Gemara's question. And therefore, you're going to be broke, and it doesn't make sense. You're supposed to go broke. I guess that's really part of the Gemara's question. So, Elo Amar Ibzeira, behider mitzvah, achlish, be mitzvah. It means by hider mitzvah. There's a din when you're going to beautify a mitzvah. Don't beautify it more than a third.
A third of what the mitzvah is?
That's the next line of the Gemara. That's the next line of the Gemara. Okay, so but here's what the Gemara tells us. There's a din called spending. This is the Gemara tells you there's a din in hider mitzvah more than a third. Now, the Gemara never told you where is there a din called hider mitzvah. Who told you in the first place I have to beautify mitzvahs? So the Gemara assumes that you know Masechta Shabbos, and therefore you know our sugya that there's a din called hider mitzvah. Maybe. Then the Gemara continues, Boy Yerbashi, Shlish Milagav or Shlish Milabar? How do you calculate a third? Do you calculate a third Milagav from the inside or Milabar from the outside? Anyone know how this works mathematically? Yeah. This is always a hot Gemara for me. Right? Do you look at it? Let's say Rashi looks at it like this. Rashi explains. I should have put Rashi on the page. I forgot I didn't put it on. Rashi Baba Kama Daf Tes explains it this. Let's say you have two Chefetz Shal Mitzvah. And the cheaper Chefetz Shal Mitzvah is worth $6. So do you say, I take six and split it into two. And therefore I'd have to add another $2. I'd have to spend $8. Or do you take a third and have to spend $9? Right? You take a third... Right, Rashi says over here, how does it work? Shlish milabar, shlish milagav. Keep going. Imakot nimka b'shisha. The cheaper thing, no. The cheaper, listen, the cheaper one sells for six, so you have to add two dinarim, the hanu shlish milagav. Shlish shebitoy chadomim. It's a sixth of, it's a third of what I have. Right. Right. The hanu, that's the hidden. Or shlish milabar, how does milabar work, like Rashi? Hadomim yechalok ishnaim. You take the money, divide that into two, that's the six. The Yosef Chelik Shlishi Mishaloi, and I have to then take and add a third. Tahainu, Imakot Nimka B'Shisha Yosef Shlishi Dinar. I have to take another three plus the six, which is nine.
Versus eight. Why do you cut it in half? Why do you divide it in half?
What?
Why do you divide it?
Oh, so we'll see in a second. So what's this machlokes talin? So it says Rabbi Salavitch, number three, and number four, v'yitochin shehu abir b'sofik ha-gemari im misha'arin ha-shlish tehid ha-mitzvah mil-bar v'lum ha-gav. Says Rabbi Salavitch, you know what the shayon ha-gemari is shlish mil-gav v'shlish mil-bar? Is gufa Reb Chaim's tut stodim. Is hid ha-mitzvah a dover t'stodi? Is it a separate din called hid ha-mitzvah? Or is it a chelik of the mitzvah itself? Says Rabbi Salavitch, Gavaldi, im hid ha-mitzvah ma-havi chelik shal ha-mitzvah atzmoy, if it's part and parcel of the mitzvah, like Reb Chaim said it is by Mila, mistavish ha-shlish mishu'ar mil-bar. Then he thinks you should calculate it from the outside. Then the third that I'm adding is in the actual mitzvah that I'm doing. Idoch, said Rabbi Salvation, on the other side.
So that's eight.
That would be nine. In my hidden mitzvah kiyum b'fnei atzmoy, but if hidden mitzvah is a separate din called measure it, then hu milagav. Then it's a separate calculation. The ain't a shaykh li kiyum mitzvah atzmoy has nothing to do with the actual chepsishal mitzvah.
Separating
no, but the Gemara, the real kashrut of Rabbi Salvation is, why does the Gemara end off? Teku. The Gemara doesn't answer. So Rabbi Salvation is tiny. That's good for the machlokes. The shaila of the Gemara is Reb Chaim's tut stodim. Oh, so what's the teretz? Teretz is we don't know. So Reb Chaim will tell you they're both correct. They're both correct. Now, gradually should come out. If you accept Reb Chaim, then it should come out that sometimes you should do milagav and sometimes you should do milabar. You know, you figure out what.
Depends on the mitzvah.
Right, depends on the mitzvah. If this stickle teretz is correct, now. No, he didn't give us any other examples. That's chelik of the mitzvah. That's right. Now, what's interesting is halach lemaisa. What do? You do, let's say, the cheaper lulav sells for six. So, do you have to spend three or do you spend two? The Gemara doesn't tell you. So, the big machloekis rishonim above a kam. One of the rishonim say suffik deraisa l'chumra. Since hid the mitzvah is a din deraisa, you got to go l'chumra. You got to go with the more chumra dekashita. Other rishonim say no. Hid the mitzvah is only a din derabanan. So the Chayra, when the Gemara answers Teiku, it's not just, Alamdus Shaila like Rabbi Salvechik is presenting, it's Halach Shaila, which has massive ramifications. What's the ramifications? Is Hidda Mitzvah Din Derais or is Hidda Mitzvah Din Derabon? Says Reb Steinman in number 5, in Ayos HaShachar and Baba Kamad Avtas, he says, you see from this Gemara, you see from this Gemara, that Hidda Mitzvah forces you to be Mechal the Shabbos. Kedei Lachtech Hatzat Sitzin Shein HaMakvin. V'im kol haidina eina ela midrabanon, says Reb Shteim in 1 second. If all the hidden mitzvah is only derabanon and zeh keil vavel is an asmachta, eich yesh tzad loyma demutta mishum zeh lechal Shabbos b'chateich hasetzitz. Says Reb Shteim, how you let me mechal Shabbos for din derabanon? So the obvious answer is because that's the way the Chazal have that power sometimes to figure out what you're allowed to do. But Reb Shteim assumes that from our Gemara it's a raya that hidden mitzvah has to be deraisa, at least by Mila, unless you start splitting it, that's very hard to believe. That by Mila it's deraisa, but the other ones is only derabanan, that's hard to assume. Teretz says, Reb Shteim, you see from this Gemara that the din of hidden mitzvah is taka din deraisa, and that's why you're allowed to violate the Shabbos, because it's taka din deraisa.
Even if you're not Pirish.
Oh, no, the Gemara says, Kozman, you're not Pirish, right? Only you're not Pirish. The Gemara says, once you're Pirish, you're not allowed to.
But if you're not Irish, it should be an issue.
Right. That's what he comes to explain.
So that's his right.
That's it. The Hidda Mitzvah must be the right. Right. Now, this Rashi on Daf Tes is the Rashi we started talking about last week. A very, very difficult Rashi. Says Rashi, number 6. The Hidda Mitzvah Aslish B'Mitzvah. She'emoytza beis Sifrei Torah Liknes. You go to the Sefer and he gives you 2 Sifrei Torah that you can buy. Meaning they're completely written. You can buy Sifrei Torah number 1, Sifrei Torah number 2. Zagrashi hider ve'echad hider mechaveroi, and one is nicer than the other. Yosef shlish adom v'yikach as a hider. Spend the money to buy the nicer sefer Torah. The Tanya, because we learned in Shabbos, zeh keli v'anveyu hisnoi lefonah b'mitzvahs. So what do you see from Rashi? The Rashi is learning that the mekor of hider mitzvah is our Gemara in Shabbos. What are the examples? Asei lecha sefer Torah no. The Gemara said that lulav no, talis no, sitzis no. Talis no. Look back in the Gemara. The Gemara never said talis no. The Gemara never said tzitzis. Tzitzis no. What's talis? So we're going to get to that in a second. But before we get to that part of Rashi, that's right. But before we get to that part, let's talk about a different Raya in Rashi. What's Rashi talking about? I come to the Sefer and I want to buy a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is already written. What mitzvah is there? What mitzvah is there now? Is a mitzvah to buy a Sefer Torah? There's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. What mitzvah is there to buy a Sefer Torah?
Maybe when you buy it, it's considered as if you wrote it.
How? Well, what? But he did it already. It was after the fact. We spoke about this once before. No. We spoke once about that you can be maimed a shliach even if you can't do it yourself because the shlichas over is a different type of shlichas. We mentioned this from David Lifshitz, the alumnus, that the shlichas of the Sefer is not about who has the power to write the Sefer Torah, but who's misachas it to. But after it's already written, there's no more mitzvah.
That's why we need a few letters at the end, I guess, maybe.
Possibly, if you want, if you hold it, you have to write it. So if you look in the Sefer Birkas Avram, Avram Erlinger writes on this Rashi, he says, Rashi's Lushitasai. This Rashi in Baba Kama is the Shitosi to Rashi in Menachos. So what does Rashi say in Menachos? Daflam Ram Alf. Da'kaina Sevetera Yotz B'zei De Mitzvah K'siva Sevetera. Rashi's of the opinion, as is the Rush, that how do you fulfill the mitzvah today of K'siva Sevetera? You go buy a Svarim. You buy a Chumash. You buy a Gemara. That's the mitzvah of K'siva Sevetera. V'loi Kedas HaRishayim De Lo Yotza. All right, so he says right off the bat, if you're going to talk about the mitzvah, a mitzvah here, and the Sefer Torah is already written, what's the only mitzvah? The only mitzvah is going to be that you hold buying svarim is a mitzvah. So if I have two svarim, one's a nicer sefer, so I'll be hid a mitzvah, not the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, but the mitzvah of knias sefer Torah. So now he suggests maybe not. Maybe the mitzvah is not the writing of the Sefer Torah, maybe the mitzvah is the learning from the Sefer Torah. There's a hidden mitzvah to learn from a nicer sefer Torah. So he says.
So according to him, if let's say a sefer comes out in hardcover or soft cover, if you buy the hardcover,
that makes if that's what makes it nicer, that would be a hidden mitzvah.
Or let's say you have two, you have the Frankel Rambam and the regular Rambam.
Right, according to this, that would be a mitzvah.
Rambam, you get
that would be a hidden mitzvah. Wow. He says the bevado lo shayach hidden mitzvah b'takonis Moshe Rabbeinu shel kriyas haTorah. So he suggests an interesting possibility. Maybe the hidden mitzvah is not on the buying of the, but it's the mitzvah of reading from the Sefer Torah. There's a hidden mitzvah to read from a nicer Sefer Torah. So I'm not, what mitzvah am I doing? Not the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, which is found at the end of Sefer Dvarim, but the mitzvah of reading from a Sefer, whatever the mitzvah, the Rabbanan and the Raisa.
That's a real mitzvah.
That's a real mitzvah, right? There's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, then there's a mitzvah to read from the Sefer Torah. Let's, for example, I buy a nice Sefer Torah to read Parsha Zachar. So I'm being Mahadir Kriyas Parsha Zachar. So he says that can't be.
Kriya is then more
Hadar. Oh, right, the answer is, what, you're not making the Kriya better. The Kriya is the words. So he suggests, so he says, Oy b'talmud Torah di Sefer Torah no. He says, is there a concept to learn from a nicer Sefer? He doesn't think so. He says, is there a concept that my davening is nicer if I daven from a nicer siddur? He doesn't think that's true. He doesn't think you tell me that the mitzvah is nicer because I have a nicer box that holds it. That's really what the siddur is. The siddur is a place that holds the words that I then daven from. So the Sefer Torah holds the words that I then read from. He thinks that doesn't make it a hidden mitzvah. And so what's pshat in Rashi? It must be that Rashi holds that it's not the mitzvah of the Sefer Torah, but it's the mitzvah of buying and owning a Sefer Torah.
According to him, does it mean, let's say, if you have, you know, I'll give a shout out to David Portal, whoever he is, having the best Baal Kori or having another
one? That's what he's saying. He's saying, he doesn't think that's hidden mitzvah. He thinks that's not hidden mitzvah. The mitzvah is not changing that way. But if I look in the bottom, the Sefer Haaretz V'Tzion, he thinks not. He thinks there's no raya from Rashi that Rashi holds that there's a mitzvah to buy a Sefer Torah. V'ulai yesh litcha shekavonetz Rashi, sheyesh hidda b'Sefer Torah no, kedei lahada b'mitzvah talmud Torah, shebekayim b'Sefer Torah b'mitzvah kriyas haTorah. He thinks no. There's taka a hidda mitzvah to have a nicer Sefer Torah when you read from it. What mitzvah are you being mahada? The mitzvah of kriyas haTorah on Shabbos or the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah in Parshas Zachar? This is a fundamental shaila. Is there a hidden mitzvah to have a nicer Sefer Torah for the reading that you're fulfilling? What's the mitzvah? Mitzvah is the reading. And a nicer Sefer Torah somehow makes the reading nicer.
Yeah, but then according to that, so then if you have a nicer mantle or atzei chaim, wouldn't make a difference.
That's correct. It wouldn't
it's
make
only the reading.
That's correct. We'll see later at some point, probably next week, where the Biskarov has another way to get around this problem.
So it is better to have a better
nicer than that luchaira, if it's going to make the laning better, maybe if the guy reads better and he reads more correct. So let's go. So now let's go back to a second to the. Now we'll see on the next page the Dvar Avram. We mentioned the Dvar Avram was Rabbi Soloveitchik's cousin.
Who gave him smicha?
Right. I don't know if it's from his wife's side or from the Soloveitchik side. So we'll just go. It's on the Soloveitchik side, so we can have six Soloveitchiks in this week's shir. So the Dvar Avram has a piece over here where he wants to answer Bakasha from the Beis Halevi. We mentioned 2 weeks ago, the Beis Halevi had a kasha. We mentioned there's machoikis rishayim, do you go back on a weekday for the strands that are not ma'ak of the meal? So the Torah says, yes, the Rambam says no. So the Beis Halevi wrote, he has a very strong raya from a Gemara in Yevamos. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that talked about a milas hager. The Gemara said, if you're doing the milas hager, and you realize you forgot the tzitzit shein ma'akvin, so the Gemara says you don't go back. Says the Beis Halevi, 1 second, when do you do a milas hager? Only b'chol. So it's a mafurish gemara. You see from the gemara that a milas hager, you don't go back for the tzidah shein ma'akvin. Rabbi Asher Weiss, we'll hopefully get to it next week, has a long piece on this sugya, and he says he thinks it's machloikis hagemaras. The machloikis Rambam and Tor is a machloikis hagemaras, and he wants to be machriya like that gemara in Yevamos. That gemara in Yevamos is a raya against the shita of the Tor. Now we mentioned that there are ways around it. One of the ways we mentioned was from the Beis HaLevi, and we'll see the Dvar of Rome also suggest a way around
it. Does anyone say that there's a chiluk between a gear and a car?
Yeah, that's what everyone answers. Okay. That's why it's interesting that he ends off his long piece by saying, oh, there's a Gemara in Yevamos, that's mashma like the Rambam, so we pass him like the Rambam. I think that's interesting. We'll bring that there, hopefully get to it. Says the Dvar of Rome, the kasha alator v'nitchak b'zel yashiv. He doesn't like the answers that the Achronim give. What was one of the answers that they gave? They gave because it's going to cause a delay. Right, the idea by a ger is we want him to become, he needs to first have the milah, then he has to recuperate, and then we can move on to the next step. So if we're going to go back for the extra strand, it's going to delay his recuperation. That pushes everything back, and we don't want it to. That was the Beis HaLevi's answer. Says the Dvar Avraham, the great Kovner Rav, he writes, I don't think the question even gets off the ground. Why? Why do we ever go back for these strands? It's only because of hider mitzvah. That's only when you're doing a milah of a Jewish baby, where the milah itself is a mitzvah. Oh, exactly. Says the Dvar Avraham, it's not really a mitzvah. It's a stepping stone. You can't get into Judaism without a bris. So it's not a mitzvah. You're not commanded because you're not Jewish. But you can't, catch 22. You can't get here unless you do this. So this, the meal, says the Dvar Avraham, is not really a mitzvah. It's just a way to get you into the club. Oh, on that, you don't say hider mitzvah. So he says, Loishaya Kla Loimar Bo Hasnoi B'mitzvah. The Otu Neymo, Hisnoi B'mitzvah, it's interesting, right? He writes, Shia, he Zemel No? Is there a din that the knife that we use should be nice? V'shia Mikvah Shetovlin Boy No? Now again, do we say that by a regular Yid? Is there a din by a Jew that the mikvah should be a fancy mikvah because it's not the fun of the mitzvahs? I don't know why the Dvar Avraham picked this nakuda. I thought the point is because the whole meal is not a mitzvah. It's just a hech timsa to get into Judaism. So now what's the obvious kasha?
Is that the mikvah for making a nice mikvah, by the way?
Now that's where the women should want to go. That's a simple answer. But what's the obvious kasha on the Dvar Avraham's pshat? So now that it's over, and now that he's Jewish, and now he recuperates, and now he comes to his first Kiddush Club on Shabbos afternoon, so after Shabbos, go back for those strands. Why not go back? According to the Dvar Avraham, but now he's a Bar Chiyuva. Now he has a mitzvah on him, so now he should go back.
He's got an Issa Chavolet, like
everybody else. So he said at the end, because it's no different than anyone else who doesn't go back later on, that the Beis HaLevi addressed. So that's one piece I want from the Dvar Avraham.
I mean, you can make the case, even the Torah degree, you don't go back, because at the time of the mitzvah, there was no hider mitzvah, so what?
Well, again, now all of a sudden, depends which pshat you're going with. Depends how, again, according to the Beis HaLevi, of course you don't go back, right? According to the Beis HaLevi, the mitzvah is over. But the Beis HaLevi wanted to suggest, the Beis HaLevi's own pshat in Bager, he asked his kashan himself. He said, one second. If the whole reason is you don't want to waste time, so after the Geirus is over, then go back. So the Beis HaLevi said, nah, then you don't have to go back. Maybe you do, we had a whole discussion. So you had the same kashan.
When the Geirus is complete, he does not have a retroactive establishment of the mitzvah?
Yeah, Shlodan, I think you could debate that. I think you can ask yourself. If he right now has a mitzvah meal that wasn't completed, so maybe he does have a din of his mitzvah now. Yeah, you can clear that. We'll see at the end of the Dvar Avraham. But I want the middle part of the Dvar Avraham.
If he said meal is the one thing that has the zekeli that was included in the mitzvah meal, there would be a case.
Yeah.
You can't say that now.
By meal's ger. Only by meal's ger it's not part. By regular meal, it would be part of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
Right. So therefore,
you should be able to go back now. Because now that he's a Yid after the Milos, so now he has a mitzvah Zekeli.
That's why I would have. So he's going to address the Kasha at the end of the piece. We'll see. Unless you argue it's a different type of. What type of mitzvah does he have now? He has now. Okay, well, we'll see. But look at the small print. He writes, V'teimo li b'Rashi. He says, I'm bothered by a Rashi in Baba Kama. What does Rashi say, Baba Kamo? So Rashi, he quotes our Rashi, Behidr mitzvah at shlish, the times that came on veyus, not the fun of the mitzvah, say, L'chasei v'tari, no, luv, no, talus, no, tzitzis, no. The ma shayi chidr betalus. Frekti dvar avrom, what is Rashi talking about? Make a nice talus? The talus is not the mitzvah. Otu a talus ya mitzvah? Fariyakat sitis heim a mitzvah. The mitzvahs are the strands. Not the talus. The beged is not the mitzvah. Says the Dvar Avraham, if you look up the Gemara in Shabbos, as I pointed out, it doesn't say talus no, it says tzitzis no. Ela tzitzis no. The Efsher, zog the Dvar Avraham, the domi lekorcha bishiroi no in the Sefer Torah. Says the Dvar Avraham, maybe this is like the case, like the Gemara in Shabbos, you wrap the Sefer Torah in something nice. What's that about? That's not the mitzvah. So says the Dvar Avraham, maybe it's like that. But this is really a good kasha. What's the significance of wrapping the Sefer Torah in nice wrapping? What mitzvah is that? We'll come back to Rabbi Neder. Omnom says the Dvar Avraham b'mechilto shehu mikor ha-maimer. This Rashi that Rashi got from a mechilto loy nemer ela luv no sukano tzitzis no tefillin no. It actually never says anything about shiroyim no. Avas yuma dekorcha b'shiroyim no in lesa. The way our Gemara says it is not the way it's in mechilto. So that answers the kasha. We'll see that Achrayim don't like this, but it's a good aura. The kasha v'achib Yushalmi. So the Avraham is the first, as far as I know, that addresses this kasha. I shouldn't say he's the first. Maybe earlier is also. But the Avraham asks the kasha. Why is talis no a hidden mitzvah? What hidden mitzvah is there with the talis no? Then let's go back. He says, v'chi tema. Go back to his answer for the Beis Halevi's kasha. That you don't go back for the ger because milas ger is not really a mitzvah. V'chi tema de imkein lebosa tfilosa miyoshu ki yisrael v'chayv mitzvahs mila. Yachz lasa de shenim akfin. So affected v'avram imkein after he becomes Jewish and now he has a mitzvah. Now he had the mitzvah shekikin and make him go back. Ef shaloyma de ena chanami de chayzer. You're right. Ela de chnisase lebris ain't tzarech lachzor achshav. It just means he doesn't have to go back now. Inami, Yeshlemi, Kamashi Kasav Beis Halevi. Maybe it's like what the Beis Halevi said. The La'acha Sha'ova Yemamila Gamatur Ma'ida Deshuv Ene Chayzer. Maybe you don't have to go back. For Oy Yeshlemi, the Kivin B'Shas Hamila Lo Hayol of Chiyav Asna. This is Alam Neshavar. Maybe since at the time when you did the mitzvah of Mila, there was no din of hidden mitzvah because you weren't that type of Mila. Even afterwards, hidden mitzvah doesn't kick in. This might be totally in the Chakira of Reb Chaim. How do you understand hidden mitzvah? If hidden mitzvah is totally in the actual Maisa HaMitzvah, so this Mila wasn't only one type of Mila that didn't have hidden mitzvah. But if it's a David study, now that I become Jewish, all my mitzvahs have to be beautified, I'd have to beautify this as well. Okay, Yesh Lodin on that idea. So if we look at one more Ma'ar Mokhan for today.
He built the sukkah when he was a guy, and now he's...
That would be an afkamina, right? That would be an afkamina. So one more Teretz, at least one more for today, from the Eretz Tzvi, the Klozhig Gover. I like to call it the Klozhig Gover. The Eretz Tzvi is a tree framer. It's hard to pronounce it. I don't think it's correct to call him the Klozhigover because I don't think he was in Klozhigover so long. He was a Rav in Klozhigover, but for not so long. He was really longer. He was in other towns. He was a Talmud Muvik of the Avnei Nezer, of the Sochet Chav. That's a tongue twister, right? He was a Talmud Muvik of the Avnei Nezer. He took over Reb Meir Shapiro in Lublin. When Reb Meir Shapiro died in 1933, he was Mamala Mekoyme as Rosh Yeshiva of Lublin. And the story says that he went to the concentration camps, he went to the gas chambers dancing and singing, B'Simcha Rabba, and he was killed by the Nazis. So we have his farm, Eretz Tzvi. There's a wing somewhere in YU that he had a brother who survived the Holocaust. And they donated a room, that's the Freimer room. By his brother, the Tzvi Freimer's brother. So he wrote Tzvi Freimer wrote Svarim on Chumash, beautiful stuff on Chumash. He wrote Shailos and Tshuvos, and this is one of his Shailos and Tshuvos, the Klozhigover. But besides that, I can't pronounce it. I don't think he was in Klozhigover so long. So I'd rather refer to him. He quotes him a lot. Rabbi Simon loves him. He quotes him all the time. Eretz Tzvi was one of the Chashiva Rabbanim in the last Kufa before the Holocaust. So we have his Svarim Eretz Tzvi.
Doesn't Shachter also use Eretz Tzvi?
Eretz Hatzvi is the safe.
Oh, Hatzvi.
Hatzvi
okay.
Is the safe. His safe is Eretz Tzvi. So Tzvi Freimer. So I like to call him the Rosh Yeshiva of Lublin, but people say, what do you mean? He wasn't the Meir Shapiro was Rosh Yeshiva of Lublin. Yes, he took over after, again, it wasn't for so many years. I think it was from 1933 to 38, 39, they already closed the yeshiva by the time the Nazis took over. So he wasn't Rosh Yeshiva for so long, but he was in Klozhigo for some years. He was the Rav in Klozhigo. So he writes like this. He says, again, the same kasha. Kasha tuva. The Ma Indian Hatalos Eitzel HaMitzvah. Again, the same kasha that Dvar Avram asked. Dvar Avram him were contemporaries. Dvar Avram lived till the Nazis. He was the last Rav in Covenant, was in Dvar Avram. So he writes, Hari HaMitzvah Rak B'Tzitzis. What's the Raya? Shem Yesh Loi Begit Shazal Kavos Chai B'Tzitzis. V'Hatal is Doime Lebayis. Shedorbo. Shetzorich Lekvay B'Mezuzah. Mikom Lokit Me'an HaBayis HaChevtza Mitzvah Rak HaMezuzah. Right? No one's going to say that the house is a Chevtza Shal Mitzvah. The house holds the Mezuzah. So the Tzitzis, the Talis holds the Tzitzis. What's the difference? There's no thing you have to buy a nice house. And many people are makbid, they like to have a very nice box to hold their esrik. Why? Because of this Rashi. Because anything that holds a mitzvah is a din and hid a mitzvah. Oh, right. The question is, how far back are we going to go? So my wife always yells at me that I use to hold my esrik in the box that it comes in. I don't get a very nice one. So she says, why not? I said, because I don't hold like that Rashi.
She knows
the Shtikal Torah from the Achrayim that this Rashi that Tzitzis no and Talis no. She knows that Rashi in Baba Kama that the Talis holds the Tzitzis. So anything that holds a mitzvah becomes hidden mitzvah. I assume not like Rashi. So anything that holds a mitzvah is no din hidden mitzvah. The mitzvah is hidden mitzvah. What holds the mitzvah is a chayin. I like that. I am adamant to let's say the house and the mezuzah. So what is the klozhig of mitzvah? Yeah, I lose anyways. It doesn't matter. But that's our Torah and Lamedes. So he writes this with Tirtz Echob, the Shani Bayis. This is the one of his Tirtz. The Gamlule Mitzvahs Mezuzah Hayudar B'Bayis. He says, you know what the difference is? If there was no din mezuzah, you'd still buy a house. You need somewhere to live, right? He says, Masha'inkin talis, minaga oilam hayoim shekainam talis, kadeh lakayim b'mitzvah sitzis v'lulah. Right, today, why do we go out to the storm and buy a bag of dollar conference? We don't wear big day dollar conference, it's not the style of dress. So we go out of our way to buy a bag that has sitzis, that has dollar conference, and we can be kind of mitzvah. So therefore, he says, that makes it more of a cheftah shal mitzvah. So he writes, "Minhag ha'olam shekayin talis kedei lekayim mitzvot tzitzis." V'lulei hamitzvah lo yoyloif shem talis klal. We would never go out and buy a four-cornered beggar. It's just,
is that what Rashi meant when he said talis?
We'll get to that in a second. Al-kain.
Talis doesn't mean...
Al-kain hayoyim gam ha-talis min ha-mitzvah. So says the Klajig of it, so today, it is taka part of the mitzvah, because I'm only doing it for the mitzvah. Or may ha-taim because of Rashi, talis no mishum, the gam may Rashi... A little history, sagt der Klajig of it, because in the times of Rashi, ha-ya ha-minig b'zeh k'may b'zemanenu. I mean, he's bothered with the kasha. If the Gemara didn't have talis, why did Rashi add talis? Said the Klajig of it is a historical issue. Because in the times of the Gemara, this we know, Yilonim Menachis, you know that they all wore big day dalal kanfis. So you were wearing the beged anyways. So then the beged doesn't become a mitzvah. Mashenkin's the Eretz Tzvi, but today, where we go out of our way to put on a beged to do the mitzvah, so that now becomes a chelik of the mitzvah.
So
right?
To him, wearing wool and tzitzis would be a better mitzvah than wearing cotton?
Possibly, yeah. And right. That'd be hidden, if you hold that's a hidden mitzvah, right? If you hold that's a hidden mitzvah. So he says, we may agmar lo hayam in a kin. Rak shay loiv shim balava chita leises ke elu shem le mitzvah. Vizeu havi derech levisha. Afilo eitzel nochru. So he says, that's geshmak. That's why the Gemara left out tzitzis and Rashi inserted. And it all has to do with the time and history. Then he has one more pshat. V'akorch d'shani mezuzah de'enei mitzvah mechayev. It's rakim lebayis chay mezuzah. Alkein in lebayis shaykhaz la'mitzvah. Mashayke tzitzis mitzvah lahachnes atzmei b'chiyev. We know that by tzitzis you go out of your way to be mechayev yourself in the mitzvah. Rak b'tzir of beggar. Alkorch ha'beggim in ha'mitzvah ke'en shekos ha'rashi reshpek dushin kim she'ev shel ish le'kai mitzvah pervu b'ladei isha. He wants to tell you it's like one of those you can't do one without the other. You know, you can't fulfill the mitzvah peruvu without getting married. So marriage now becomes a mitzvah. I can't wear tzitzis without a beged. Now, you also can't put up mezuzah if you don't have a house. Right? It's an impossibility. So believe me, the next week, we'll talk more about the mitzvah of tzitzis, then we'll talk about the mitzvah of lulav, and then we'll talk about the din of hit the mitzvah generally, and we'll try to finish up the sugya.